In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Everything has a beginning, and so did the church have a beginning on that particular day when the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were gathered. And the description of that in the Acts of the Apostles is often seen by many strong people, members of churches, who believe it was a one-off event and that was that, and it's historical, and the Holy Spirit really is not present around much, or if at all, today. It's one of those divisions of ideas about whether the Holy Spirit is alive and well or whether the Holy Spirit is an historical event. And my understanding and my belief is that very much a present and moment-by-moment event and encounter for those who are aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 41, about 3,000 people were added to those who are believers that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, I guess the only time in this country where we experienced sort of mass conversions was probably when the Billy Graham Crusades went through the country. Some of you can remember anything that was different? Probably in terms of mass, you know, gatherings of masses of people and people committing themselves to Christ, it's probably the last time that's happened in this country, and maybe the only time. So we know that even in living experience, for some people who, I never got to a Billy Graham crusade, but lots of people talk about it. As I speak to older people, many people will talk to me about their experience of a Billy Graham crusade. So we know that this ability of the spoken word of God is something that can impact on many people all at once. And I'm not sure, did any of you watch any of the Billy Graham stories when the celebration was on here a while ago, and where the media just simply had blamed Billy Graham for stirring up the crowd, and so it was like some sort of an emotional reaction en masse. And so he and his people running the crusade decided they wouldn't talk about having an altar call, and people just came regardless. And in the end, the reporters had to admit that this was something they didn't understand. And so you can't, in a sense, close the Holy Spirit down. If the Holy Spirit's working, that's the way it is. The problem with the early church, well, not really the church, the problem with humanity is that if you have some idea or describe something and you keep it to yourself, it probably stays as it was thought of and described. But as soon as you share it with 1, 2, 10, 50 or 10,000 or 50,000, suddenly you'll get multiple variations of where the original idea started from. And so the early church was caught up in that set of circumstances. And the biggest issue that the early church was trying to resolve was that many people, and today many people still believe, Christians believe, in a God who's a Father, in a God who is a Son, and in a God who is a Holy Spirit. So there are three separate gods. In other words, there's multiple gods, which is common in many religions. So there's that belief, that's what Christians think about and believe. So in the early church, they needed to sort it out. Next Sunday is actually, coming Sunday, is Trinity Sunday. So it's a difficult thing, and I have not time to talk about it this morning, but the creeds were set out to try and get people to understand that God is three in one and one in three. And I'm going to stop there because otherwise I could be here for the next 20 minutes and we still would be wandering through that particular understanding. God, who is the Alpha and the Omega. Now, if we look back into the Old Testament, because some people say, oh, well, you know, this was a new idea, but God is right through the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit is there in the book of Genesis. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So God was there at the creation of what we know as planet Earth, right there in the beginning of whatever else was created. We still argue about what was and what wasn't, but it was interesting to hear, and I always get his name wrong, was it Richard Hawkins who died recently? It was reported that at the end he decided that the Big Bang theory was not right. And you can believe what you read or not, but I did see that. And ironically, he's interred in the cathedral in the UK. So I don't know whether that disturbs his past next life or not. I'm not sure. But it's one of those debatable theories. And we as Christians have got to hold tight to the fact that God created. In the beginning, there was nothing, but God created all that is, was, and ever will be. When we get down into the prophet Joel, here we're talking about where does the Spirit of God dwell? Is he like it? He is in the New Testament? Is he in everybody? Joel predicts that will be the case. God will pour out the Holy Spirit on all peoples. In the Old Testament, God raises up individuals to lead people out of trouble. It's part of that process where individual people seem to be empowered to do something extra special. And that is, if you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that that's where the Holy Spirit seems to appear in those stories. When we get to the New Testament, we find John the Baptist in Mark's Gospel and Jesus in John 14:17. They confirm the prophet Joel because they say that the Holy Spirit is yet to come. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is yet to come, and as Bob read from John 14 this morning, we see that this is after the Son of God has ascended back to heaven that the Holy Spirit will be there. And then in Acts 2:1-4, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, dwells within our hearts, dwells within our lives, dwells within our being. So there's this concept of the indwelling of God in every person who believes and has had that encounter. God is there, and that process, there's many arguments and debates about all that. Once again, I'm just trying to give a very quick skim of the fact that the Holy Spirit is not something that's isolated. I've been told by more than one person who you wouldn't expect to hear it from that it's still... It doesn't apply today, and I find that an extremely sad understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and where the Holy Spirit dwells in the lives of his people. There's an issue of teaching where we can be told about the fact that the Holy Spirit is in the Scriptures, and we can read about it in many books, and we can be lectured by people who are far more qualified than I about the Holy Spirit. But the relevant thing with the Holy Spirit is that it's a personal experience and a personal relationship. And it's that personal experience of the presence of God that's the important part of the journey in faith. And then there's the evidence of God's presence in events that cannot be explained. There are things that happen for us as individuals and for others and for communities and societies where something beyond human comprehension brings about dynamic change. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in an individual's life also brings about change. Not like St. Paul necessarily on the road to Damascus, sometimes in a slow growth process, but the work of God is there in people's lives. We talked about, when we were studying the book of Acts or going through the book of Acts, about the acts of the Holy Spirit through the disciples. You might remember that that's sort of the basic theme, which at the end of that journey, that was what I was hoping we would understand. And there are many, many books. You can go into Kurong Bookshop or many Christian books and you will find heaps of books that talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Volumes and volumes and volumes of them. You can read all of that, and the important thing is that one needs to get to a point where you have that personal relationship that you are able to share with others. That's the point of the journey. I've taken a bit of a risk today. I've actually sat down and given you in your pew sheet a very short synopsis of my faith journey. And with all the college education that I was receiving and all of that that went on, it was from a most unlikely character, a Thursday Islander who was at St Barnabas College at the time I was there, who asked me, as we can find in the Acts of the Apostles, have you ever had this encounter with the Holy Spirit? And I had to say to him, what are you talking about? And at that point, through his prayer, it changed my life. You might find it hard to believe with me standing here and carrying on like I do at times, that basically I was an introvert and would stay away from people. And here was I in a college training to be a priest in the Diocese of Murray. Something happened that day that gave me the ability to minister God's word. And I will not deny that it was the man's prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit that I experienced that changed my life. I need to basically leave it there. I'm happy to talk with anybody individually about the journey, but I felt that I needed to give you at least some brief testimony. And I've asked Robin, we didn't sing the hymn first, because when we sing the hymn that we're about to sing, you'll see the words in that are powerful words. And think about them as we sing that hymn. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, open our hearts to be on fire with your Holy Spirit. And by your grace, grant us the courage to stand strong and tall for you.